Good evening, Shmuel Mayevsky. We have three dedications tonight. First one is Meir ben Yisrael Yitzchok and the Lezecha Nishma Simo Basarav ben Zion and Chaim Baruch ben Zavel. We wish them all a Shama should have an aliyah for all three of them, and the family should have nechama for their losses. The parsha this week is, I entitled the Shia tonight, is that we are in very difficult, we have so many exceptions to joining Judaism, as opposed to Christianity, which obviously the reason it spread so quickly and so vastly is it took in anybody who wanted to be a Christian was allowed to do it. Anybody, any other religion, there's nothing keeping you out. All you have to do is swear allegiance and say you want to be, and that's all that has to be. Judaism doesn't do that because it's like we're the Marines. We want the few, the good ones. And what we're saying here in this parsha, even though it has so many mitzvahs, this parsha, by the way, has the most mitzvahs as any parsha in the Torah. By itself, it has 12% of all the mitzvahs in the Torah in this parsha alone. And of course, they on the surface, they seem to be helter-skelter, but the reality is they're not. But I just wanted to focus on the people who are not eligible to be a Jew or not, as the Torah would tell us, they can convert. Sometimes one may convert to be a Jew, but not marry a Jewish woman so that they can procreate and spread their genes throughout Klal Yisrael. That's another thing. And then we have those who are Ammoni and Moavi, who while they could be Jews, the men are excluded, but the women may. And that's part of the interesting fact of what happens. Where, when it says, Lo yavo amoni u'moavi b'kal Hashem ad olam, they're not allowed to, where does that come from? In other words, what would be the difference between Moavi and Moavit? And the Torah gives us an explanation, seemingly so, that it says, Al dvar shelo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim baderech betzei eschem mimitzrayim. And what that really means, if we get down to the brass tacks, what that's really talking about is not at this point in time, after 40 years in the Midbar, when Ammon and Moab didn't come out to greet them. It's talking about, strangely enough, when the Jews left Mitzrayim, they finally broke out of their slavery after 210 years. Then Ammon and Moab, being such close relatives at that time, they were still cousins, and they should have come out to greet us at that time. We wandered in the Midbar right away, but they should have come out then. And then, of course, it says Vasher Sochar Olechos Bilom Ben Biar, that they went ahead, Moab went ahead and hired Bilom to curse Klal Yisrael, which, of course, God had a hand in and prevented that all from happening. But then, nevertheless, as I mentioned so many times before, that it says Vayochelu Em Luznosel Benos Moab. Where did that come from? If 24,000 Jews were killed because of the Benos Moav, why do we say Moavi velo Moaviz? And that Rashi gives the answer that it's not the style of women to go out and greet them with food. The women stay at home. But here it is. It's something else. And what the Malbim and various other Mefarshim, certainly of the Barbanel, point out that the Moabite women were really tsunuos, and they wouldn't have fallen prey to do this, to try to entice Bnei Yisrael into the licentious behavior that they did. But it was only because the people from Ammon went ahead, he paid them to dress up as Moabite women, and Bnei Yisrael thought they were having relations with the Moabite women, when in fact they were Ammoni, dressed up as Moabite women. This is a few of the Mefarshim tell us that this was why that it's not Moavi. But the interesting thing is, where does it all stem from? What is the reason that the Torah tells us that we are not allowed to a man, a Moavi and a Moavit, Ammon and Moav are not allowed to become Jews? It goes all the way back to Lot. And what I mean by that is as follows. Lot was a person who literally grew up at the foot and the home for so many years. Avraham was his benefactor. Avraham took him out of Haran after his father, after Haran was killed, and Avraham felt responsible for his poor nephew and took him on the lamb with him when he ran away from Nimrod. And he left and he lived with Avraham under the good graces of Avraham. He left with him. And after all the years that he spent with him, they had a disagreement about Gezela from other lands. And Lot chose to, Vayaris Kol Kikar HaYarden, and Lot took a look and he saw that Kihulam Ashkeh, that Sodom was such a beautiful land that was great for all his cattle. He decided to move to Sodom. And not only that, but he became a judge. And this is what Lot got from all the years that he stayed with Avraham. This is what he took from Avraham, his Hachnosus Orchim. And even the Hachnosus Orchim, the only thing that he was able to retain from Avraham to be this type of a person, he had, we talk about people who grow up in a non-frum home. They are what we call Tinok Shenishba. They didn't know better. People who are grow up in some godforsaken place where there is no religion of any kind, and we don't blame anybody of that nature for not following the 613 mitzvot because they don't know any better. But Lot grew up in the house of Avraham Avinu. He had no excuse. He was not a Tinok Shenishba. And if Lot, after all the years, he still exhibited the tendencies to want to associate with the people of Sodom, and not only to associate with them, but to live amongst them and rise up to become one of the judges of the town. And then on top it all off, so we want to focus on the fact that at least he had the mitzvah of Hachnosus Orchim. He took the angels in thinking that they were about to be killed. And then he goes ahead and he said, Hineno li shtei bonos asher lo yodu ish. I have two daughters. Look how he ruins even the idea of Hachnosus Orchim. He offers up his two virginal daughters to the people of Sodom. He is so corrupt and he has zero excuse. If this is the genes that he's passing on through Ammon and Moab, then God says, I want no part of that gene pool. I don't want them to be part of Klal Yisrael, regardless of what it is. The women, Lot's daughters, were tsunuos. Lot's daughters were not. They were, it says, Asher lo yodu ish. How could it be that women of that age in a place like Sodom were had never had relations with a man because the Benos Moab were tsunuos, but the men of Moab, Lot's gene pool passing down through the generations would be totally a disgusting thing for God to allow into Klal Yisrael, and he said, I want no part of it. We as Jews have higher standards. We answer to a higher authority. We have to have that symbiotic relationship with society to understand people and get along with them. And then we come along to what we're dealing with today, with Amalek. And who is Amalek? Well, we don't know. But that's why when we lay in this Shabbos, when we lay in the parsha of Amalek, it's Zochor Es Asher Asol Lecho Amalek. We have no way, we're in Golos, and we have no way to kill the remnants of Amalek because there are no pure Amalekim. So we're left with the mitzvah of Zochor. On Purim in the morning, we lay in Vayavo Amalek Vayilachem Im Yisrael Bifridim, which is a very interesting background to the whole idea of what was so terrible about Amalek. It says, Vayavo Amalek. The Jews didn't pass through their land, but Amalek went ahead. Reshis Goyim Amalek. Why do we say that pasuk? Why did Bilam say Reshis Goyim Amalek? V'achriso Adei Oved? Because Amalek sought them out. The Jews were not anywhere near Amalek. They came out to fight. Did they fight them face to face? No. Vayavo Amalek, Vayilachem Im Yisrael Bifridim. And then, interestingly enough, we take that whole parsha seemingly as one battle that started. But they, as we read in this week's parsha, who did they attack? They attacked from behind These were, they went, they attacked from behind when nobody saw it coming. That's the only way they knew how to attack. Face to face, they couldn't handle it. And that's why Moshe, after the initial battle, it was a two-day affair, because Vayilachem im Yisrael b'Refidim was the first day. And then it says, Vayomer Moshe el Yoshua b'chalonu anoshim, mochor, we will go out, v'tzehi lochem b'amolek. Tomorrow, we will go out and attack them face to face. The Jews of this world today, when Israel attacks, we do it face to face. We don't attack them from behind. We don't attack them without warning. We send out, as I mentioned last week, we send out leaflets. We send out things. We're coming to clear out all the citizens who don't want to suffer the loss of life. We're telling you to get out. The first time when I see in Israel, you see, admits if they shoot somebody accidentally, they're first to admit it. But they, when was the first time, when was the next time that the Arabs will ever admit the fact that they didn't mean to kill a poor civilian? They only are fighting army. They claim that all of Israelis, all Jews are soldiers. But we don't get to say that all Arabs are soldiers. They don't think of it that way. They only attack Kolanech Sholim Acharecho V'Yato Yefi Ogea. That is the way they work their magic. And Amalek is, that is their DNA. They can only attack from behind. When Vayilachem im Yisrael b'Refidim, they attack from behind. We went out and we chased them day number two. When we got up in the morning, he said, b'charlonu anashim, you can take a select few soldiers, a few, whatever it was, a few hundred, a couple of thousand, and go after them face to face and let them see what it is. They couldn't handle that. Vayachalosh Yehoshua es Amalek v'yasamol lefi chorev. And he was victorious over them. But when he attacked them face to face, they couldn't handle it. The only way Amalek is successful is when they attack from behind, when they attack unsuspecting, when they shoot rockets into the land of occupied territory of civilians, just shooting aimlessly at no particular targets, just to aim it. That is Amalek. These are the people who are Amalek. These are not Yishmael. These are Amalek. And that is exactly their, that way. And that's why Ammoni, Moavi, Amalek, they are forbidden, verboten. We don't accept that into our gene pool. We don't want it. The Shiva Amamim that are in the land of Eretz Yisrael, they, it's not that we just don't want to become like they do, but the gene pool that might get mixed in is abhorrent to God. And he's trying to explain that to us. And that is why we are selective in who we allow to be a Jew. It's not the exceptionalism, but it remains, it is who we are. God wants the few, the good ones. That's what we want as Jews. And if we can see the light of that and understand that God understands all the people throughout history have attacked the Jews, they attack from behind. They never are willing to fight face to face, because face to face they understand, and that's where Bilam understood, and Bilam understood. He couldn't attack the people face to face. He knew he would lose. So even from behind, he was just trying to do it surreptitiously by cursing them. That's all they have at their beck and call. And that's why God doesn't want people in Judaism of that nature. We have to feel God understands the future and he knows. Not to say that our gene pool can't handle a Gerim. We would like Gerim, but they have to be of a certain type. Their DNA has to be the ones that could fulfill the promise of being Rachmanim by Shonim and Gomlei Chasodim. Have a good evening, and may we survive all these trials that we're going through now. And by this time, Rosh Hashanah, in a few weeks, may we see a tremendous change in the attitude of people towards B'nai Yisrael. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Rabbi. God bless you, the Rebbetzin, and the family.
Thank you. Regards.